Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. Today, philanthropist and community volunteer Nell Hawkins. Hosting the conversation is Liz Taylor. This program was taped May 22, 2012, in the studios of KWBU. The Central Texas Leadership Series is sponsored by HEB, a Texas tradition for more than 100 years, serving and supporting of your neighborhood to enrich your quality of life. HEB, here everything's better.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking today with the wonderful and lovely Miss Nell Hawkins, community leader and a variety of other things. And that's what we're going to talk about, Nell, is all of the many things that you are involved in that you do. So let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, your background and, you know, where you're from and anything you want to share.
Well, I was born in Denton, Texas. So, but I lived in West Texas for a while, so I kind of claim a little bit of that sand out there. But really, most of the time was spent in Fort Worth.
Okay.
With my family. And what brought him there from Odessa and Midland was a job.
Okay.
So that's how I ended up in Fort Worth. But I have two sisters. They were born in that area also.
That's great.
So I love Fort Worth, but love Waco more now.
Absolutely. Fort Worth is a wonderful place, and you know, I grew up in De Leon, which is a small town, and kind of and then I spent some time out in West Texas in Big Spring, so I kind of have some affinity there.
I still have a lot of family out there.
Oh, I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. That's wild. Talk about your family and any useful ambitions, useful dreams. What did you think you would do in life?
Well, when I was born and growing up in that era, which was part of the Depression coming out of that, and, you know, the war was ending, and my dad had to be in the service and got out because he had three children. And so we were very poor, like probably a lot of the rest of the country. All our friends were poor. Mm-hmm. So we just learned working is something you did, and as a family, that's what you did. So we spent most of that time kind of moving around, my dad just trying to find something because they were not educated, mm-hmm. Nor were they expected to be. But I had a great family life.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Do you think that, I know I did too, so I mean, to me it's kind of unmistakable, but do you believe that that influenced has influenced the way you've raised your children and the way you are involved in the community that you live in now?
Well, I'm not sure if it did, but I will tell you this. The love, we always knew we didn't have much materially, but we had everything we needed to survive mentally, physically. Mm-hmm. My mother was a very hard worker. You didn't tear up anything. Once she got it, it was going to be one time, so you didn't sit on the beds. Your clothes were hung up. There were no dirty dishes in the sink. There was no sand. When a sandstorm would come, the sand was gone. That was the kind of woman she was. She took care of everything. It was too hard to get.
Sure.
And so my dad, he was just this wonderful father that just gave us all this attention and worked hard, and they both were just hard working. That's what they expected. They never took anything from the government. There was government assisted at the time,
sure,
but they didn't need that. A dollar a day took care of us for at some time.
That's great.
So yes, I did learn from that. I think the way the family unit, we did everything together, drive-in movies, played cards together, cooked outside. It was a really great family.
Yeah. So that influences probably everything that you do for your kids, but also, about the things that you're involved in the community, too.
I think it probably does.
Yeah.
My mother was not one to ever get involved. she was so busy with taking care of us and doing all of that that community wasn't something that was really even talked about or thought about. We just lived our lives. But once I grew up,
okay.
I think you're kind of born with, if you have a giving soul or heart, that when someone dies, which my mother did, that was the one thing she could do is clean somebody's house, mm-hmm. or bake a cake or take something over to a funeral. That was where I learned that part from. You just automatically did that. And I still do that today.
Sure.
Because that's one area that most people can give. You can't give in money, but you can give in your time.
Absolutely.
And that was probably the beginning of the gift.
So talk a little bit more about, okay, so growing up and you know, how did you arrive in Waco? We're in Denton, so how did you make your way here?
When we grew up, being girls, there were no boys in the family, we were just sort of expected to get married.
Sure.
Because you're talking back in the 50s.
Sure.
And I want to stress 1959,
that's fine.
When I graduated, that's what girls, it just wasn't in my family to have higher education to them was going to high school.
Yeah, sure.
And that was the one thing that they strived to do was to get us all out of high school.
Sure.
They didn't know what college was. But when I got out and I had children, all I talked about, I knew college was an option. I just didn't know at the time before I had children that I probably could have found a way.
Sure.
Just didn't have any advice or any mentoring by anyone. But I wouldn't trade the skills that my mother taught me to survive.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why I'm where I'm at today.
I think you're probably right. And that's that's also one of the things that I think makes you such a great leader in the community, that you have that compassion, that you obviously, you know, have had all your life, that you look at a situation and you decide, you know, this is going to be something that needs to be good for the whole community. And you do so many different things, and we're going to talk about, I'm going to ask you to talk about those things that you do in the community and the different programs that you're involved in. But who do you believe was, besides your mom, you've already talked about your mom being such a great influence in your life, who do you believe, who else has been a great influence over your life as a leader specifically, you know?
Well, there was one person as a young married that I thought was, and it was TV, of course, because that's it just got one at that particular time, but Jacqueline Kennedy was someone that seemed to be the epitome of the perfect mother, homemaker, you know, it just appeared that way mm-hmm. at the time, and still does. I know a lot of things about her life now, but I just love the style,
mm-hmm.
The way she talked, her manners. I thought she was perfect. I would have liked to. I kind of dreamed a little bit about having those clothes and that home and that lifestyle. And so probably that came from that era.
Sure.
But the person, and it was later in life, that has been a huge influence on my life, and that's watching my husband.
Great.
And that's Jim Hawkins. And sure. He, it's amazing to me to watch him work so hard, and he's working to see what is the next project that we can get into, both of us,
right.
That will benefit the majority of the people in this beautiful town that we're in. He's wonderful. It amazes me that he can do it. He's not selfish at all. It's not about what he wants. It's about what can he do with that money that will help other people.
Can I ask how y'all met? And I mean, would you share that?
Sure. I was a single working mother of two, and I was in Dallas, and I was in the hospitality industry, and I know you know what that is.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I was, when I first was divorced, since I didn't have a formal education of any kind, I just met a girl, and she said, "You want to come to work in my hotel, and I will put you at the front desk." And I check people in. The next week, I'm in reservations, and the third time, I mean, I ran a reservations office in a hotel in Dallas.
That's great.
And loved it, and then I went into hotel sales. And so I have a background of helping people, be it food or hotel rooms, mm-hmm. or conventions, and loved it. So that's sort of how I met Jim.
That's a great story, and I wasn't aware of that. But I am really glad to know it, because that actually makes our connection a little bit stronger. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm having an enjoyable conversation with Nell Hawkins here, and we're talking about how Nell has been involved in her life, and then I want us to move into how she's been involved in the community and things. But while I'm really, really excited to hear that part of your life, and I knew that there was an affinity, Nell. I knew there was an affinity between us, and it's because of that hospitality connection, and that's really tremendous to know. Let's talk about what are some of the things that you and Jim are involved
being
in
able
so
to make
many
decisions.
Talk about
it's
some
hard
of the
to,
hardest
to,
decisions
for
you've
me
ever had to
keep
make.
Track of everything.
And some
and
of the roles. That I don't know how you do, but I know that
the hardest decision
all of that comes from making
came
decisions,
before I moved to Waco.
And that's something
I believe
that
was
very
in my job, and that was to have to fire someone for the first time, and to know how that's going to affect their life, but try to make them understand why that's happening because of them not doing their job. And I did have enough common sense at the time to know that if I didn't take care of business, that I wouldn't have a job.
Right.
And I needed a job with two children. And so that was sort of a really big learning experience. It was very painful,
sure,
but it was very necessary. And that was just on the work level.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get into volunteers with volunteerism, that is a whole different thing. You can't fire anybody.
No.
But you do have to pull, I believe, if you're a leader, the best out of the people on your committee. And that is, you don't demand anything. You ask, and you try to see which one would have the best ability to do a particular job. And I think that's just something that you may come naturally. It may be something if you can just kind of see. I don't believe in telling somebody what to do. I'd like to, but but you don't.
That becomes kind of a short trip sometimes.
Well, that's sort of how Jim runs his business. He would never tell anyone, but he would ask, and
sure,
everybody loves to cooperate if you ask.
Sure, sure. Where do you believe great ideas come from? I think you are probably characteristically known in this community, you and Jim both, as being people who have great ideas.
Well, I think great ideas come from sitting down with a group of people and bouncing things off, and out of all of that talk and discussion, a light will come on, and you will have a great idea come out. And it may come from yourself. It may come. You don't know who it'll come from, but it turns out, and that's where I think great ideas come from.
Can you give an example of something? I don't want to put you on the spot there. So.
Not specific. I will just say, just being chairman of Zubilee, just when it was the third Zubilee around,
right,
and we got real creative on just the naming and how it was operated for so long.
Mm-hmm. Well, the name Zubilee is kind
well,
of
and that was
work.
Not my idea, but that was when other people were in charge, sure. which are great community leaders, and you would know all of them.
Sure.
Should be Kay and Lisa.
Sure. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Great. But your family is, you're involved in the arts and Baylor and the zoo. I have that zoo. Entertainment, politics, civic pride. I mean, there are so many things that when I think of Nell Hawkins, I think of so many different hats that you probably wear.
Well, I will be the first to say that I do love making a difference. There is something, and that could be an attraction that Jim and I came together on, mm-hmm. is that he is such a giver, and I feel I am too. Mine was just I couldn't give the money until I married the man who made the money. So that was quite different for me. The pleasure of giving money is so big that I wished I had so much more to give.
Sure.
That it is the joy of seeing what happens for other people and to other people. And we try to pick things that benefit the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's not necessary, but it does change and make a difference in many lives. And he makes many decisions without me now. Don't think that he makes them all with me, but
that's okay.
Anyway.
That's okay. I mean, when I go around the community and I see places that have your name or y'all's names on it, I think, gosh, you know, what a wonderful privilege to be able to bring that to this community. I think of the zoo, and you've already mentioned it, but there are so many parts of the zoo that y'all have touched, and it's such a tremendous attraction, and I, you know, feel really privileged to get to work with in a community that has so many different things like and so many top-notch attractions like the Cameron Park Zoo.
So I think that the zoo was very attractive to me. Because as a young girl living in Fort Worth, the Fort Worth Zoo mm-hmm. is where I spent a lot of my life. I mean, it didn't cost to go to visit and at that particular time. Or if it did, it couldn't have been very much because my family didn't have it. Mm-hmm. So we would be down picnicking. And as a teenager, you would go down. And they had actually rides, three rides. Being bumper cars and horses, carousel. So we spent a lot of time in the zoo, and I just thought when I saw what Waco was trying to do, I was very excited about it, and I think it's by far even better than the Fort Worth Zoo. We are really a natural.
I do too.
Park and
I love
beautiful.
The Fort Worth Zoo I agree. I think it is far beyond what most people expect.
That really I think
is.
So too.
And
I'm
I
very
thank
proud
you for
of
that.
It.
I might, probably have never said thank you for what your role in that, but it's really really a pleasure to have an attraction of that caliber. As well as other things that you all are involved in or have been involved in with Baylor, and you know what tremendous facilities.
Well, I'm a Baylor Bear. I didn't go there, but I'm a Bear through and through, and I know that because I moved here and because I am married to a Baylor Bear and a Wacoan, mm-hmm. We'd never live anywhere else. This is home.
That's great. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm enjoying a wonderful conversation with Nell Hawkins. And we've been kind of talking about the different projects that you've been involved or the different types of projects you've been involved in. Getting back to just pure leadership, what is the most important character trait do you believe that a leader should have?
Oh, gosh. The first thing, the most important thing is, I have to say, honesty in a person, integrity. But if you're not honest about things in your life, when you're trying to lead, I don't know how you could be a good leader.
I think that's true. In the many activities that you've been involved in and that you continue to be involved in, what do you see for the future that needs to be addressed?
There are many things I see in Waco, as in the nation, actually. I think education is very important, and I see that that's not being met. I just had an opportunity to visit the Rappaport Academy, and they are running a school that I was so surprised. It's so wonderful. It felt like the school I grew up in, which it was children paying attention to their teachers, sure, having respect, not talking in the hall. Lunch they cleaned up. It was very, it's so civil. It was just shocking. I went in, and this was from elementary to high school. Mm-hmm. So I see there is a school here that has an example of the way it should be run. Now, I will tell you, I've not been to WISD in the school system, mm-hmm, to visit, because I never had children there, so I didn't get involved in the classroom.
Okay.
I get involved in raising money for, mm-hmm, WISD.
Yes.
But I was a PTA president. I did that for several years in elementary school in my town of Fort Worth, and do the fundraiser, which at that time was a carnival, to,
sure,
make money for the school. So I definitely love PTA. I believe in public schools. Private schools are a choice. I never had children in private schools. It wasn't an option.
Right.
And there wasn't a need at that time.
Right.
Even though they had them, it was, mm-hmm, not anyone I knew.
Sure.
But public schools really need to, I think if you spend more time teaching the classes, then all the tests, the tests that they work on all the time, the tests, it will come naturally if we could just get back to basics and get back to civics. Everybody needs to know how this government's run. And we have dumbed down our children, mm-hmm, by taking so much away from them in the classroom and not making them be accountable.
I think I can agree with you on that.
And that really goes back to the parents making their children be accountable.
Being,
I don't think teachers, mm-hmm, yeah, I don't think teachers should be the one to make the children mind. I think that parents need to expect that, and if they don't, you get more punished at home, mm-hmm, than you would at schools.
Right.
So I'm from the old school. You know, listen.
Sure. Well, I think that goes all the way back to growing up in the environment you grew up in, where you probably didn't speak unless you were spoken to, in the sense that, you know, it's not, you understood your role. And I'm not sure today that I see a lot of young people understanding their role. And I
think what we did, and the way this happened, and I'm not going to say that I'm not guilty, because I probably am. I think when you do without, and I'm talking about material things,
right,
only at this point,
right,
that you want to do more for your children than you had.
Right.
And I think every person maybe strives, every family strives to give their children more than they had.
Yes.
And we all want that, but I think we've overdone it. The children need to be.
I think it's easy to overdo it.
Oh, I do too. And I'm guilty with grandchildren. So I try to pull that back in and realize, yeah, that, you know, you've got to earn your way. Everybody needs to earn their way, because it's just too much entitlement today.
Right.
And we all have a job to do. And to be a good society, we all need a job. And we're all important. Everybody's important. I know you look, and I used to, when I had a job one time, and I knew that they were going to fire me. So, mm-hmm, I think when you go through all those emotions, that I couldn't understand it. I just cried and cried about it. And a great businessman at that time, he said, you know, thank goodness for the people who really don't have an education, and they don't, because we need everyone to fill a job. But you want them to do that job and move up to the next level and move up to the next level. Mm-hmm. But we need everybody that has a job in this town to do it, and we need even more.
We talked a little bit about what are the greatest leadership needs in Waco and Central Texas, and you talked about education, but
oh, yes.
What else comes to mind?
I think besides education, that I see the need for development downtown, mm-hmm. and that's a passion that I have that I want to see happen before I die.
Okay.
I see the homeless problem, and I see that people that are on welfare situations, which is very, very sad. I hate that for anyone. I've never been there, so it's very hard for me to say what it would feel like. I could have been there, but I chose not to do that. But that was an easy choice for me at that time because I wasn't in a situation. I did have two children, sure. And I did have to go out and find a job, and I did that. But today I know that it's different. It's different today. But I am one that believes in a hand up, mm-hmm. as opposed to a handout. And you have to really give a hand up to many people, but hope that we can help them get on to doing some kind of job so they feel worthy, mm-hmm. and that they can be the best that they can be. And, you know, really sort of life isn't fair in a way.
It is not. You're right.
We're all born different. Mm-hmm. We all look different. We all have talents that not always can be seen. But if you take what you have and you make the best of it, you're important. You can do great things if you strive to get there. There'll be somebody that will help you if you just ask.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So taking that about asking, mm-hmm. what advice would you have for new leaders or people who are listening who may be thinking, I just wouldn't know how to take the first step?
I believe if you have passion for what you're doing, mm-hmm. and that you really believe in this project, that I don't – it's easier for me if I give money to a project to go ask, because that's helped me a lot. And I, being in my position today of being better off than mm-hmm. a lot, I would definitely give to anything that I would ask someone for funds.
Right.
I would give first because I believe in putting your money where your mouth is, mm-hmm. number one. And but if you have passion for that, and if you have anything that you can give to it and still ask for money, that's great. But you can be very effective if you are very passionate about your cause. And so I would advise any young leader to know what they're talking about. Be prepared to tell them any information, because they will ask questions when you go to ask, you know, someone to help. But if you believe in it, it's going to happen. You can make it happen.
Well, I have very much enjoyed this very brief chat with you and about leadership and about yourself, and I've enjoyed getting to know you a little bit more.
Well, thank you. I hope I've answered some of your questions correctly.
You've been fine. Well, they're all good answers. there are no wrong answers. They're all great answers. But thank you very much for joining us. This is the KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Liz Taylor talking today with Nell Hawkins.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This program was taped May 22nd, 2012, in the studios of KWBU.